We have been going through the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, this is a familiar verse for most of you, I think. I love that you know, Paul spends time talking about what Holy Spirit does with and through us. After he tells us all the terrible things we can do on our own, if you go back to Galatians 5, there's a whole list of what we do in the flesh. That's not a list we want to dwell in a lot, but this fruit of the Spirit is something that we want to spend more time in. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that whole concept of love. God is love, and we can be loving and love others, and that can be a demonstration of Holy Spirit working through us, and the rest of the world can know that we're Christians by our love and hopefully want to join the family and be part of who we are. And then joy. Again, we've probably all met lots of grumpy Christians. Maybe we've been grumpy Christians. Having joy in our hearts, it's not just something that's hidden away, but it should be showing. We should enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with just loving what's going on around us, even during hard times where we can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. All of these kind of flow together. Forbearance. We spent some time talking about that. Patience or long suffering. There's times where I can't be patient in my own strength, but I know with Holy Spirit's strength, I can have all kinds of patience because I know how patient He's been with me. Kindness. Again, that's just, there's nothing wrong with being nice to people, okay? Pay it forward and We recognize too, though, that, you know, I've got atheist friends that sometimes seem more kind than some of my Christian friends. And so these aren't things necessarily that are exclusive to Christians. And yet I believe that through Holy Spirit power, we as believers, as followers of the way, as followers of Jesus, we can be stronger and better at these, certainly than we are, but maybe even more so than those around us. And we can recognize that when other people are being kind, My Bible tells me every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, from the Father of lights. So I know that even when my atheist friends are being kind, God's given them the ability to do that. God's helped them to know how to be kind, and we can recognize their kindness and honor them for that and not feel like, you know, it's us and them. It never is. It's kind of like, you know what? Jesus wants us to love the entire world. He did. Not the world in ways that we're loving worldliness, but loving the people of the world. Today's message is on goodness. And like I mentioned earlier, goodness is something that I expected would be a common theme when I went looking online to try to find sermons on goodness. I didn't find any. Some of my favorite pastor friends that I look on online, and they've got scripture ways that you can organize their sermons or topical ways. And I looked and there was not a goodness section. And there was a gentleness section and a kindness section and a patience section and all these other things, but goodness just didn't show up. And I thought that was odd. And I still do. And I wonder, do we just take for granted that goodness concept, or do we just totally think it's not that important, maybe? I don't know. Because when we look at all of these aspects of Holy Spirit fruit, it says against such things there is no law. I want to talk a little about describing, defining. That's hard to do sometimes because I think with English words, we can have a good pizza. And then we think of good, better, best. So the superlative would be best. We should be bestness, not goodness, or at least betterness. But no, it's, you know, when we look at the way the English language kind of falls apart with this concept of good, it could really mean just about anything. And I think if we're not careful, we can assume that goodness isn't a real important trait. But when Jesus was approached a number of times, you know, people would say to him, "Good teacher, what must I do to enter the kingdom?" And he'd say, "You know what? There's only one that's good. That's God. Why would you call me good teacher unless you think I'm God?" He was God. And so it's kind of, he kept calling it back to goodness and godness are equivalents. In fact, when you think back on the origin of language, good morning would be have a godly day, you know. Good afternoon, may God be with you as you go. Good evening, may God be with you as you sleep. All of these things. Hello, hallowed be your name. I mean, we have all these greetings that we take for granted that actually were godly greetings. They were used by people that when they were meeting and greeting and saying hello and goodbye, it was always centered around God. And we've lost a lot of that. I think our English language gets watered down to the point where you can have wicked good potato chips. Okay? It's on the side of the truck. I don't know if it's back here in the West, but I know back East, I forget which brand that was. I think it was like Granny Goose or something. Wicked good potato chips. So, you know, you have that. Well, goodness used as a noun, it means the quality of being good. Pretty simple. But it probably gets used more as an exclamation, as a substitution for the swear word God, when people are just trying to use God's name in vain. Goodness. Kind of an emotional exclamation of some sort. And again, we've taken a God word and we've made it something unholy. And I think we need to be careful with that. Another word that we sometimes abuse is awesome. You can have an awesome pair of socks. Well, God is awesome. If we're using the superlative for everything, it kind of makes it hard to know when we start talking about God, how do we hallow his name? How do we lift him up if we've already lifted up a pair of socks to the level of awesome? So when we talk about not taking the Lord's name in vain, I think we need to think about all of his characteristics as well and be careful to reserve those descriptions for him and then use them properly and not as an exclamatory substitution for a swear word. Looking to scripture, of course, when I try to describe or define Bible words, I like to do it from the Bible. Galatians 5:22 is where we find this. Goodness is one of the fruits of the indwelling Spirit of God. I mean, I think that should mean something. It's not just a word. It's not a light word that we can ignore and throw away. And in fact, in Ephesians, we'll talk a little bit more about this later and put it in context some, but it's part of the fruit of the light. God is light. And so when we think of, you know, goodness, it actually comes from God. We're not going to find true goodness without godness, without it coming from the light, the Father of lights. Some synonyms, you know, righteousness, wholesomeness, uprightness. There were a whole lot of others. If you look through the thesaurus, you can find lots and lots of synonyms. Antonyms, badness, evil, wickedness. Just go into some selected verses. It's easier sometimes for me to teach goodness by showing you what it's not. One of the things that I think Scripture helps us with is if we get to know Scripture really well, we're going to know God well, and we're going to know humans. We're going to know ourselves better. And if you know who God is and who you are, you know that there's a gap, and you're going to need to find a way to get that gap filled, and that's where Jesus comes in. So as back in Genesis, this is way back in early times, shortly after creation, that, you know, societies had grown up and things had been happening, and the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's kind of the opposite of goodness, isn't it? What did God do when he saw all this? Remember what came next? The flood. He finds favor with Noah, and he puts Noah and his family on an ark that Noah had to build. It took a long time. Noah and his family were by no means perfect or righteous or good when you look at the description of their behaviors. When they got off the boat, they were pretty messed up. They continued to be messed up. One of the things we learn as we look through Scripture is we as humans find ways to take good things and turn them into bad things. God had given them everything good in the garden, and they decided it wasn't enough, and they wanted to have this knowledge of good and evil, and they disobeyed. So since that time, all humanity has had a lack of goodness. We've had this every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart, only evil all the time. In Romans, and there's a pretty long section in Romans 3 that leads up to chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but there's a number of verses that are quotations from the Old Testament. Paul starts going into Hebrew scripture, and he finds all of these verses that talk about there's no one righteous, not even one, and this is just a small portion of it. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. You know, in our own strength, we're not going to be looking for goodness. We're not going to be seeking after God. So that's kind of where it falls in here. It almost feels hopeless if we stop there, but, you know, God's got another side to this too. Paul, again, in Romans, chapter 15, he's getting ready to kind of close the book out. He's said finally two or three times, and he's continuing to share some final thoughts. And he says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness. Okay? Now, when God looked at humanity, he says, wicked, evil, all the time. Can't even think right. And Paul's saying, okay, but yeah, he's writing to the church in Rome, and these are redeemed people that know Jesus, that have Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And he says, I believe in my heart, I know it, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. And he goes on to praise them. He says, yeah, I've been instructing you just as a reminder. I know you could instruct one another. You could probably do this without me because you've got Holy Spirit. You don't need me. In Romans 8, earlier, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we know that God's plan for us before the fall and after the fall is goodness, to have goodness in our hearts, to be able to do the right thing. And he's going to plan good things for us. And even as we do wicked and evil things and have bad thoughts, he can turn that to good. And he can redeem that and make it work well. Going back to where I mentioned Ephesians 5:9, we were once darkness. Some of you are trying to follow along in your pew Bibles there or whatever. It's on page 1788. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Okay, so God is light, and he said, you used to be darkness, but now you're light. You used to be evil, now you're goodness. Okay. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. So we kind of look at this, and the concept of goodness then, it's something that pleases God. Being godlike, being people of light, is pleasing to God. If we are people of darkness, we're not pleasing to God. There's a contrast. And I think the best way to learn about goodness, I think, to me, is looking at the contrast. There's times where I can look in the mirror and say, yeah, that's goodness. And there's times where I can examine my own life and recognize that's not so much goodness. And okay, so there needs to be an effort. We need to work on trying to move beyond this. We're darkness, now we're moving on to light. 2 Peter. I'm going to be here for a little while, so if you want to follow along in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, it's on page 1855 in the Pew Bible, almost to the end of the New Testament. His, God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You know what? We don't have an excuse. God's given us everything we need for living a proper, glorious, wonderful, good life. He's not trying to withhold from us. This isn't something where he's saying, okay, we've got a scavenger hunt. You've got to figure this out before you can get to the next thing. And there's a whole series of things. No, he's given it all to us. It's available. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. You know, we can participate in the nature of God. That's what that's saying, the divine nature. We can participate in godly nature. We can demonstrate goodness in our lives. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So those things that were mentioned back in Genesis chapter 6, those evil things, that those thoughts, that those inclinations that we have, we don't have to let that control us. We don't have to allow worldliness or evil to master us. We can allow goodness and God and divine nature to master us. For this very reason, make every effort. Now, I'm telling you, it's fruit, right? And fruit kind of just grows, okay? If the farmer plants his seed, then he goes to sleep and he gets up the next day and whatever. The farmer doesn't have a whole lot to do with whether or not that seed's going to grow, does he? That's kind of in God's hands. He can do a few things to assist it. But here's the reality with us in goodness. We can sure get in the way to prevent goodness from happening in our lives. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So we've got faith in God. We trust God. It's like, okay, now get out of the way and allow goodness to start growing in you. Make every effort. There's work to be done. Our work is to stop getting in the way of God. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Yeah, you know what? A lot of people say that they're saved. Have you heard people that you watch their life and they're demonstrating everything evil about the world? And they're being mean to people and they're stealing from others and they're, you know, these are not nice people and they're saying, oh yeah, I love Jesus, hallelujah. And they're going around and very vocal about it. And I'm embarrassed when I see that, because that's okay. If you love Jesus, don't just talk about it, do it. That was the whole James message, right? Be doers of the word and not just hearers. It's not just, I made a decision and so now I'm in and I don't have to change my life. God says to make every effort to add to your faith. So you've got faith, that's great. Now add to it, add goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Now you start seeing some of these things in here are Holy Spirit fruit, right? How are we going to have what we need to have if we get in the way of the Holy Spirit? If we're allowing the evil inclinations of our heart to control us and to guide us, we're missing out on the opportunity for growth. So making every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, or that long-suffering forbearance we talked about. And to perseverance godliness, almost a synonym for goodness. And to godliness mutual affection, loving one another. When Jesus was asked every time, you know, we've talked about this a lot now, what are the greatest commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. How do people know that we're really Christians? They'll know we're Christians by our love. Our love for each other, our love for them, our love for the world, our love for people, our strong mutual affection that says, you know, I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to be controlled by those harmful behaviors that seem to be just taking. How many of us know people that are struggling with whatever it is? I mean, there's addictions that we get in our lives and they control us. And they don't have to. Mutual affection, add love. And that love concept, it keeps coming back to that, doesn't it? That's what the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit fruit started with, was the love. And now it's saying, okay, add all this and this and this and this and then love. Because we're not going to be loving if we don't have self-control. We're not going to be loving if we're so impatient with everybody that we become judgmental quickly and we don't persevere or have forbearance or long-suffering with one another. We're not going to be loving if we don't demonstrate godliness. We're not going to be loving if we don't have knowledge even, okay? There's some people can know three or four verses in the Bible and misinterpret them and use those and say that they're living a godly, biblical life. And yet it's like keep wanting to add more and more knowledge. We want the truth to set us free. Well, how are we going to know the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's get to know him better. Where do we get to know God better? Any ideas? Scripture is definitely one part of it. You know, we can also get to know God through one another. We can get to know God through nature. Psalm 19 talks about the heavens declare God's glory. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I'm praying for the glory of God to come down and rain on those fires in eastern Washington, western Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, all around. There's a huge part of western United States is on fire right now. And I think if you talk to any of the people that are running, you know, the command on any of these fires, they're going to say, yeah, we want rain. We want weather to change. You know, the wind that's spreading this, if that would just die down, if we could get a little bit more dew or colder temperatures at night, you know, they're waiting for a weather change. Well, who's going to provide that is God. We need God's goodness and his grace to keep holding back. Now, he has been very gracious to the world. We're seeing things change. Some people want to call it, you know, whatever. I mean, climate change, fine. I recognize that it's there. But I think there's also cause and effect. And I think God has held back his judgment from this world for so long. He's been so patient. He's been so generous to allow one more to enter the kingdom. We get to keep on sharing God's love as long as we're here on earth. Kathy and I are going to go to a memorial service Saturday. College friend. It's our age. He had a stroke. Wasn't too bad. He was okay the next day, and then a few days later he had another stroke. And ended up in the hospital, and he thought, well, this one's just going to take longer to recover from. And then he got pneumonia, and then he passed. That hits close to home for a lot of us, doesn't it? Now, Ross knows Jesus. I know that he's smiling right now. I know that he's fine. Would I have preferred to have him still here with us? Of course. But God's gracious, and he's allowed, not every stroke kills. Not every heart attack takes a life. He's given doctors and medicine has come so far. A lot of people that would have never survived certain things now are surviving them. And part of that is so that we can share Jesus' love. And part of that is so some of those people that survive can actually share Jesus' love with others as well. I don't know God's timing. I see things seem to be accelerating during our lifetime. How many do you think this year has gone pretty fast? It's the middle of August. How did that happen? But there's probably some firefighters out on the line that are wondering, when is it going to change quicker? I'm ready for the rain. I'm ready for the snow. Whatever it takes to put this fire down. Because they've been fighting it, some of them, for months. Jason Luker got to come home for a few days, but he knows he's going to get called back out on another fire as a resource. Glad to be able to spend some time with his family and be in an environment that's not filled with smoke. It's tough out there. But it's even tough in our own environment and community. We know people that are suffering and hurting and dying around us. Dying of loneliness, dying from just not knowing Jesus. How can we love them? We need to take from our faith, add all these things, the goodness and the knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and eventually love and find a way to reach into the lives of those around us to help them know the way, the truth, and the life. If they know Jesus, it doesn't mean all their problems are going away. Okay? God promises in this world you will have trouble. Okay. That's a promise we know that it's been kept. In this world, we've got trouble. Take heart. He's overcome the world. Continuing on in 2 Peter. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So yeah, we can get all of those, but then it's like, you know what? Your love can increase. Your mutual affection can increase. Your forbearance or your self-control can increase. Some of us have self-control to a point. And then it's gone. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to live ineffective and unproductive lives? Or do we want to actually make an impact on the world around us? Do we want to make a difference? The pay it forward kind of idea. You know, God's given to us. I can't really pay him back. He's got everything and I don't really have anything. But what he shares with me, I can share with others. If he gives me resources, I can make sure that they're not just being greedily held onto by me. And I can share those and send them out. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. If you don't have all those qualities of forbearance, godliness, goodness, self-control, love, mutual affection, you're nearsighted, you're blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Now, if God cleanses us, yeah, we've got faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you cleansed me. I'm just going to go my own way and forget everybody else. No, that's not his plan. It's like, thank you, Lord, you cleansed me. How can I participate in kingdom building? How can I love those that need love, which is pretty much everybody? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. How can we really know that we're followers of Jesus? If we're going through life and we say we have faith, but we haven't changed one bit and nothing's different, and we still have short fuse and we can't get along with anybody and we're angry all the time and we're judgmental and... Whoops. When I look in Scripture, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the disciple that Jesus loved, talks about some of the ways we can check whether or not we know Jesus. Do we love our brothers and sisters? If the answer is yes, then you probably know Jesus. Do you recognize who your brothers and sisters are? Everyone in need? All your neighbors? But if we say we love God, but we don't love the people that we can actually see and help, we're liars. That's scriptural word. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. God is not in you. The truth is not in you. Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you. If you're running around saying, yep, I love Jesus, but I hate you, that doesn't work. Make every effort to confirm your calling. Am I called by God? And your election, have I been chosen by God? If I've been called by God and chosen by God and God's dwelling in me, guess what? I'm not the same person I used to be. Something's changed. I see someone in need and I have affection for them. And it's not like, okay, wow, I really feel for them and then I go home and hide in my room. Well, God's given me some resources and I have affection for them, I better share. Maybe the only resource I have is a smile, a hug, and some wisdom. If that's what God's given you to share that. Whatever it is. Look for real needs. We've talked too about, you know, not trying to just meet people's perceived needs. Some people can tell you what all their needs are, but none of them really know their heart need as well. We can meet physical needs. I think it's great that we have a food bank here in Skykomish. If there's anybody going hungry in Skykomish, they don't need to be. Tell them about the Friday food bank. Tell them about your friends and open up your own pantry as well. I mean, we've done that a number of times where people come and it's not a Friday. It's like, okay, well, we've got a pantry and we've got food and you're hungry here. What has God given us? We can share that. And as we do that, we recognize it's like, that's not natural. That's not, I mean, you know, self-preservation. Look out for old number one, right? That's what we were taught in school. Some of us. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that Holy Spirit fruit, goodness, it's something that's going to be visible. It's not something that's hidden away. It's not something that's trite or unnecessary. if we believe we're followers of Jesus and we're not living a life of goodness, we're deceiving ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good, that you are kind and gracious. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll continue to train us up in the way that we should go. So as we get old, we won't depart from you, Lord Jesus. Amen.